Hello, thank you for tuning in to My Trainer Live with Kathy Dolan. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you feel inspired to make even one small change to your health and fitness. I hope you enjoy the topics that we cover. Our podcasts get distributed to others when you like, comment, or leave a rating on Apple Podcasts. So please take a minute today at the end of the podcast to leave a comment, a rating, subscribe, and let's spread the news of health, fitness, and happiness. My clients and listeners rely on me to help them put into motion training programs, training protocol, healthy habits. I try to bring you the latest in health and fitness, some inspiration, and maybe a little entertainment along the way. I have noticed so many programs, social media, they have dropped the word health from health and fitness. I'm a believer the two go hand in hand. A little something about myself. I have been training clients for years. I've worked at the big box gyms, the upscale athletic clubs, and I've owned several of my own studios and gyms. I have taken these valuable years of experience, and I'm offering them in my programs worldwide now, virtual coaching. I was one of the top earners and the top trainers in my town, in my studios. And let me tell you, I have put the time in the trenches. I've made top dollars doing what I love. I've been around since the days of high carbs and high intensity aerobics to extremes. My clients rely on me to bring them the latest information. Are you a personal trainer, a coach, a motivator? Did you know that I have a mastermind group I'd love you to join? I'd love to give you all the information that I've learned over the years working with clients. Ramp up your business to the next level. Send me an email and I'll send you the information on Kathy Dolan Mastermind Group. Let's get started. All right. Mother's Day was lovely. I think that's the last time I was on. We had three guests on and we talked about strong moms. I hope you guys enjoyed that. I have gotten some nice feedback from that one. So if you haven't listened to that one, go listen to Strong Moms. So coming off quarantine, 42% of Americans have gained weight during the pandemic. Today, we're going to be answering some of your questions, of course. Questions on the best bench to have for a home gym. I got a question for that one. What's the difference between isometric and isotonic exercises? I'm going to be kicking off a little teaser to my new series, Mindset is Everything. And we're going to be talking about balancing the parasympathetic system and the sympathetic system, the fight or flight, and the rest and digest systems of our bodies and minds. Our main topic today is stress and stubborn belly fat. I'm going to give you three things, if you pick up nothing else from the podcast today, three things that you can start doing right now, today, as soon as you finish this podcast. I like to start the podcast with gains and losses. Give you a couple gains. I got a new grill for Mother's Day. Yep, the kind you cook chicken and salmon and kebabs, all that good stuff on. I had the best Mother's Day ever. Thank you, kids. I love you guys. I'm also having a little more time in the summer to read. Reading some great books right now. I'd love to know what you guys are reading, so pop me an email and let me know what's on your summer list. I have to give you one more gain. I was out and somebody approached me and told me, I love your podcasts. I'm really liking them. I'm listening to them in order and I love all the information. So I asked her, well, what's one thing that really stuck out? She said, well, so far, and I'm just about ready to listen to the one on macros. So go back and listen to that one because I'm good doing a macros too. Really good information. And I said, oh, that's exciting. And she said, I really like the baby steps. That really has helped me. And I am walking a little more now. And so is my husband and he's losing weight. And that just made my day, you guys. So thank you. If you're listening, please like and share and send me some questions. I'd love to answer them for you. My loss. Well, this time of year is always trying. And I have to remind myself at times in the midst of all of it is, oh, we are at the end of the school year. We have been grinding pretty hard. And this year was totally out of the norm. So I woke up this morning, grabbed a cup of coffee, and I was sitting out on my patio And I just got to thinking about how far I have come, how far our family has come, and how much I do love this time of year, this transition time where there's weddings and graduations. It's the end of the school year, summer, barbecues, swimming, beach, warm weather. It really is my favorite time. But it's also, like I said, a time of new beginnings. But getting here, you might have a meltdown. You might feel fatigue. As a parent, it's inevitable. I know it comes every year at the end of year, and it's been happening since kindergarten. We are all tired and ready for a change. So this is the perfect time to change your attitude maybe a little bit. Work on a new, improved mindset. There have been days where literally by the time we got to the weekend, we just laid around. I could hardly just get my workouts in. It's just like you have to hit pause. You're so fatigued. Your adrenals have just gone on and on and on. You have to have days of doing nothing. And that's what summer's all about. Recovering, restoring, and refreshing. So that is my loss, and I'm ready to amp things up and get going. Today, we're talking about stubborn fat, belly fat, and why is it so resistant? Well, first of all, abs, you've heard this, are made in the kitchen. Well, really, truly, abs are made in the gym, in your training programs, in your bar class, in all the things that you do that you're using your core. Abs are really core. Are they made in the kitchen? No, they're made on your plate. They're refined in the kitchen. So think about what you're putting on your plate. You can still build muscle underneath a layer of fat and not see those muscles. So you could have a six-pack hiding under there. So in other words, build up your abs under that belly fat and reveal them when you lose body fat. So many times we have gotten it backwards. So maybe in your mind start to think, build first, then shred. Just a thought. Some of what I'm going to share with you today, you may have already heard. It's always good to kind of reiterate those kinds of things that we know work. It's good to hear them. It's good to expose ourselves to them over and over. So we start to change the chemicals, our thoughts. We change our thoughts. We change our body. But some of this that I shared today, it may surprise you. We're going to discuss some of the reasons why certain areas on the body, why is fat so resistant to healthy living? Why is fat so stubborn, and what can we do to get that fat melting? Belly fat does not discriminate against age or gender. And I have had clients over the years tell me, in all my days, I've never been able to see my abs. I've never been able to lose this belly fat. I'm here to say, I'm going to give you a couple ways to lose it, okay? I've helped thousands lose body fat. Let's talk about this problem of poor metabolic health, hormones, lifestyle. Let's get to some possible solutions. Did you know that high levels of insulin, the fat-making hormone, can be a big problem when you're trying to lose that belly fat? A few facts about that. Did you know that men have a harder time losing belly fat? And they tend to lean out in their arms and their shoulders before they get to the belly fat. And many times they end up with a disproportionate amount of belly fat. Men will see their legs get leaner and their belly get bigger. Women, on the other hand, gain belly fat, but we tend to lose it there first, while the fat on the hips and the thighs and the butt comes off last. Where you store the fat deep inside your abdomen is dangerous to your health and has a wide span of connections to so many other systems in our body. So many health issues can be because of this problem of belly fat. I'm going to talk about two kinds of fat today, subcutaneous and visceral. There are other types of fat in our body. We have intramuscular fat, if you think of a marbled steak. But today I'm going to talk about subcutaneous and visceral. Subcutaneous is that pinchy, squishy stuff that you can grab between two skin folds. Visceral fat sits around your organs. Think of it as being pressed, hidden deep in your belly. It surrounds your liver, your stomach, your heart, and can also build up in your arteries. According to research, 10% of our fat is visceral, lies deep enough to surround our organs and disrupt their function. What is the amount of fat you want to lose and how much would you like to drop? Visceral fat, the more we carry around the organs, can cause diabetes, heart disease, and being overweight is bad for your health. So that's a motivation in itself to think, even if I lose 10% body fat, let's hope that 10% is coming off visceral fat around my organs. You can set out to lose belly fat. Here's the good news. Visceral fat, typically, it's the first to go, as long as you're following a deficit in your calories, a deficit diet, and you're getting in that movement, creating the deficit overall. Keep in mind, you start losing that visceral fat, and you may not see a change in the scale. You might not see it on the outside first, but what a great thing to know. Maybe I'm losing that visceral fat, I just haven't seen it on the outside yet. Visceral fat is the first to go. Even if you don't see something in the mirror, keep going. You may start to see smaller measurements around your waist, but hopefully you are dropping that wrap around your organs kind of fat. And you will see the subcutaneous fat go away with persistence. You might say, when can I expect to see my actual muscles in my abs? Be patient. I'll come back to that a little later on in the podcast. So let's do it for your health. Feels good to know that just by losing some body fat, we're going to get healthier. In general, men are going to lose it in their belly last, and they tend to maintain muscle better than women. They have bigger bones and bigger structures in general. Besides the hormonal differences, keep that in mind. Women lose body fat slower, and as we are aging, everybody loses body fat slower. It's a little bit harder. For women, estrogen, it directs the body to accumulate fat around the thighs and the hips, preparing for giving birth. For men, as they get older, testosterone levels drop and existing abdominal fat only grows and grows. Likewise, women get older, our estrogen levels drop, and the body begins to send more fat to the stomach area. Middle age. Here's some factors. Genetics, some believe, well, it's not as important as people think. The surplus of body fat is calorie surplus. It's extra, no matter how you store it. You can't spot reduce, we know that. So even if you're storing the fat in your pecs and your arms, your body's going to respond to fat loss and calorie restriction or calorie surplus. Get your body fat lower, no matter what your genetics. How much do you have to lose? Take a waist measurement, a waist circumference. Feel for the top of your hip bone. It's at the same level of your belly button, and circle a tape measure around at this point. Remember to relax. Don't suck it in. Just take a nice, honest measurement. Men should have a waist circumference of less than 40 inches and women less than 35. Again, we want to lose this fat around the middle because of its proximity to the liver. Visceral fat is usually the easiest fat to burn. It's the less risky subcutaneous fat that likes to stick around. Unfortunately, you can't forcefully spot reduce around your belly no matter how many crunches that you do. Okay, let's move on. You've measured your waist. You're setting a goal to lose fat. Remember, you can't turn fat into muscle. You can lose fat for health, physique, and lifestyle. Set a rate of fat breakdown. Now that may be a little difficult, and we'll go into a few things that may be slowing the rate at which you are breaking fat down. But keep going and run from anything that promises a quick loss, spot reduction, all those kinds of things. Run. Stick to things like fasted cardio, weight training, and adding some supplements. A healthy body is going to respond best to training. So if you focus on your health, you're going to get the best results with your training. If you just focus on your training, you're not going to be as healthy. So it's a full-on 360 level of thinking. Aging slows our ability to burn fat as efficiently. So focus on building muscle. You've heard me say that a lot in all of my podcasts. I hope that's starting to really sink in. For a minute here, let's talk about the science of fat loss. Insulin insensitivity can be the cause, but in studies, it can all be dialed back to high caloric intake. You may have insulin resistance if you're retaining water, you're gaining more body fat, and you feel sluggish after meals. So losing weight is important, but why are you not losing? It's not only the calories you are eating, but how those calories affect the chemical systems in your body. I heard it the other day, you're not what you eat, but it's what you absorb. It's important to be metabolically flexible. My goals with my client is to educate and teach clients to get to know how their body works, what works and what doesn't. So what is metabolically flexible? Well, it's just basically training your body, conditioning your body to utilize both carbs and fat as fuel. People that are overweight have a problem with the uptake and insulin resistance. High insulin, it makes it hard to lose the body fat. It breaks and interferes with the process of fatty acid breakdown. Hormones are the messengers and the managers that tell our cells what to do. That includes muscle repair, hypertrophy, fuel replenishment, cellular function related to recovery, inflammatory signaling. So it's not as forward as some people may think, calories in and calories out. Our bodies are like complex chemistry labs. Many factors outside a person's control, like hormones, gender, and genetics, all play a part in deciding where our body collects that body fat and whether or not our body responds to diet and exercise. It is so frustrating to know that you're eating right and you're exercising. And I just read a study recently that they're finding people that are over 40 are over exercising hugely, like to a high degree. So I think that's coming from the more is better mentality. So we definitely want to be careful of over exercising. And I think that's the one of the most eye-opening things for my clients is when I tell them to eat more and exercise less. That just goes against the grain, right? That goes against what most adults in this age group just cannot grasp, because we grew up with the opposite. To mobilize the fat, you need to crank up the catecholamines. Catecholamines are the main stimulus, the hormones that stimulate fat burning. So what they do is they're neurotransmitters and they carry chemicals like epinephrine, dopamine, adrenaline to the cells. What they do is they can increase our heart rate, our blood pressure, our breathing rate, our muscular strength, and our mental alertness. We need them even when we're not in fight or flight. They also lower the amount of blood going to the skin, the intestines, increasing blood flow going into the major organs such as the brain, the heart, and the kidneys. Catecholamines attach to one or the other of the fat cell. These receptors determine how these fat cells are used. Let's look at it this way. Fat stores around the body, they don't have equal amounts of these receptors. The stomach region can have a lot of the alpha beta receptors that are resistant to calorie restriction, having to do with insulin. Alpha 2 receptors tell the cells to store for later use. Beta 2 receptors tell the cells to break down and release fat for immediate use. Every cell has both of these receptors, although only one is dominant in each fat cell. So this means that the fat cells either have more alpha 2 receptors or more beta 2 receptors. And that determines how the fat cells react to diet and exercise. If a fat cell has more alpha 2 receptors, it's predisposed to resist diet and exercise. Stubborn like me, Irish. If a cell has more beta 2 receptors, it's predisposed to respond to diet and exercise by burning fat. The areas of the body with more fat cell distribution are also composed of fat cells that are controlled by the alpha 2 receptors. In some people, their bodies store more fat cells in their belly area, and the belly is predisposed to resist diet and exercise. So remember, beta is fast, alpha hinders fat mobilization. All betas aside, trust the process and stay with it. What happens when your body loses fat? I just think this is such an amazing thing. Poof, gone. Fat is gone. But there's a basic process, a chemical reaction that happens in the body. Lipolysis brings the enzymes that are needed to burn. You might think of the Uber driver as the catecholamines. And finally, in the third step, beta oxidation. Burn, baby, burn. Perhaps a small number of those catecholamines are getting to the fat cells. Let's talk about blood flow. It is relevant and it's important to get everything moving every single day. Sitting at a desk is not good for blood flow. So if you have areas in your body that feel cold to the touch, you might, have you ever felt like put your hand on your butt and your butt kind of felt cold, or your feet or your arms or the back of your arms feels cold? I know women tend to store body fat on their triceps. Well, for me, when I'm in the gym, I love primers, like donkey kicks are great for hip extensions either before or after, help to really turn on those muscles. If you follow my Instagram, you'll see that I do a lot of what I call primers, either before or after big lifts. And you want to do the same thing. You want to tell your body to circulate, move around those catecholamines, get them moving. So for your abs to show, you need to drop your body fat to around 17-18% for males, and then you'll really notice your abs. And for women, your body fat would probably need to drop anywhere from 14-24%. Remind you, that's just a general statement. Everybody's different, but it is exciting when you start to see the 2-pack and then the 4-pack and then the 6-pack. Remember, every pound that you lose, you're going to drop blood pressure, blood sugars, resting heart rate. These are such important health markers. My clients this week, they are, one of their tracking assignments is to track resting heart rate every morning, 7 days, write it in. It's amazing when you start losing body fat, even what 1 pound will do. I like my clients to strive between 52 and 60 beats per minute at resting rates. Here are some tips. Have your blood panel done, including your thyroid, your hormones, your blood sugar, and your cholesterol. If you'd like to know more on specifically what you should be asking your doctor for, because you're going to get the general stuff, but if you want to go a little deeper, it would be really good for you to know what you're looking for. Remember, building blocks of our hormone proteins are needed. There are 50 hormones in the body stored throughout the body, secreted by the pituitary gland. So it's really important to know what you're looking for with those blood tests. But start there. Get a physical, blood work, and then we can start talking about supplements that you may be taking, that you maybe need to take. So let's get back to applying some action steps and getting the mind right. Women lose body fat slower than men. Our goal, women, is to minimize muscle loss. Go beyond weight tracking. Throw out the scale for now. Get the tape measured. You cannot manage what you're not keeping track of. You cannot change something you're not keeping track of. Tracking is key. You can track your waist, your hips, and even your neck circumference with various apps. Keep track of your steps. Work your way up. So maybe you're starting out with an app tracking your steps and you're only getting 2,000 a day. That's okay. Work your way to 5, then go from 5 to 6, the bare minimum, 6,000 a day. Work on inflammation. Inflamed bodies don't burn fat as efficiently. Certain foods can trigger inflammation. The only way to know is you can't lose weight. Start with eliminating dairy, gluten, and wheat and go from there. Inflammation is coming from your diet. The latest craze in health and fitness, and you guys are going to be hearing a lot about this. I'm going to be doing a podcast here coming up on it, but you want to meet your goals by optimizing glucose levels. So find out how stress and sleep, and along with food, affect your glucose levels. Everybody is unique with these metabolic insights. So it's really important. Fitbit users, I just found out you can now track your blood glucose levels. So you connect your device to the app. I just heard that Monday, so that's awesome. But you can also purchase glucose monitors that, like I said, that's going to be the next fitness craze. Everybody, myself included, I'm very interested in that. So not only diet, but again, measuring stress and sleep. How is that affecting your weight loss? Diet. Okay, you've heard all, we got to count calories, we got to count macros, but how about this? Eat slower, mindful eating. So when you sit down to eat, you are switching out of the sympathetic system. Step away from the desk. Take 15 minutes to eat. Slow down. Put away your phone so you can assimilate the food that you're eating. What's your mindset while you're eating? Are you even thinking about it? Are you trying to answer emails? So the mindset as you're ingesting the food is so vital to losing belly fat. Try to eat the well-balanced diet, of course. Eat a diet high in whole grains, fresh fruits, vegetables, lean proteins. And try to get to the calories day in and day out. Cut way back on sugars and alcohol since these nutrients are more likely to end up as visceral fat. Eat less simple carbs and lots of protein to keep your insulin levels lower. Insulin locks the fat in your belly. No sugary carbs, but lots and lots of fruits and vegetables, green tea. Research shows consuming 4 cups of green tea a day helps lower insulin and lower body fat. These are all things that you could start doing today, tomorrow. Let's talk about sleep again. You know, we live on a clock. Everything we do is on the clock. We are so conditioned to wake up and think into the future. I'm going to go down to this coffee pot and make my coffee. I'm going to come up and take the shower. We're so programmed our future. There is a time to repair and replenish our hormones, to rejuvenate our organs. Much of this happens while we're sleeping. Science has even narrowed it down with things like, for instance, the liver does its peak detoxing between 1 and 3. You should be asleep by midnight so that your liver can focus on its cleansing function. Your lungs actively cleansing themselves between 3 and 5. So if you're constantly waking up at 1, 2, and 3, you're interrupting that replenishing cycle that your body needs to rejuvenate those organs. Really, truly, sleep is the number one habit that pays the most in dividends of all habits. Because think about it. If you aren't getting sleep, you aren't going to feel like doing the workouts. If you're not sleeping well, you're going to be hungry. You're going to be wanting to eat all day. Sleep affects everything. If you're overly tired, you're going to be grouchy. You're not going to be creative. You're going to be foggy. Sleep more, stress less. I know it's easier said than done, but in order to take care of your physical body, you have to take care of your mental state. So if you're not taking care of your mental state, when you go to lay down to go to sleep, you're not going to sleep. Sleep loss and stress can sabotage your health, your fitness, and losing that belly fat. So learn more about meditation, yoga, calming your mind, mindset. Change your mind, lose your body fat. Exercise lifestyle. So pick exercises with your goals in mind, your ability and your personality. But maybe take a hard look at, maybe you are overdoing it a little bit. Maybe you're hitting the hit a little too much. I am thoroughly enjoying my every other day weightlifting combined with some yoga. I've really dialed down the intensity and I'm getting amazing results. So again, it's really hard to break that mindset if you're used to thinking more is better unless I'm sweaty and falling on the floor. That workout did not count. Wrong. We've got to change your mindset to get some different results. Lifestyle changes that help to maintain moderate weight loss. That's what we've got to work on. If you're doing that high intensity training only, you've got to add some yoga in. If you're just doing yoga, you've got to add some high intensity training days in. You've got to add some weight training. Periodization. We've talked about that. Go back and listen to a few of my past episodes, but I am a believer in periodization. Just at the opening of my podcast today, I was talking about how we're moving into June. Well, everything shifts in blocks, right? We're going to go through summer and we're going to have longer days. Our schedules change a little bit. Welcome the change, right? And start thinking about periodization, not only in your training, but in your life. Activating these systems in your body, the rest and digest, the fight and flight, time blocks that will help you maximize your day. Recently on my client fitness journals, I had them use percentages and tell me how much of their day in percentages is sleep, work, exercise, socializing. And remember, exercise, you could throw meditation in there, all kinds of things. and then just divide your day into percentages or blocks. Keep working on your weight goals. You will get there. If you're not, don't despair. Maybe you're doing too much cardio. Maybe you're not doing enough. Maybe you need to cut down and add more weights. Stress. You need oxytocin in your life. Did you know just hanging out, like when I did the podcast with all the gals, I felt so good for a couple of days. I just kind of repeated the conversations in my head. I could hear them and the facial expressions and the emotions and all the things that came out in our Strong Moms podcast. And I just love hanging out and talking to like-minded people. And it's really awesome to know that these conversations increase oxytocin. Did you know hugging my teen and my dog and my boys, that increases oxytocin? The women in the blue zones, we've talked about the longevity of life in these blue zones throughout the world. They have their tribe, right? They live these long, healthy lives. And what are they doing? So they really broke it down into blocks. And certain blocks of their day or their week, they're with their tribe. They're with their women. They're with their men. So this is a great way to manage emotional stress. And when you're emotionally stressed and you're not getting all these chemicals, you're so off balance. Stress typically equals overeating. There's that calorie surplus. The stress hormone cortisol can actually increase how much visceral fat your body stores. So reduce stress in your life, and it's going to make it easier for you to lose body fat. Do all that you can to get the systems in your body working at peak performance. Get a physical, get the blood work, let's look at supplements, and mindset. Practice meditation, deep breathing, other ways to manage stress. Mindset and how you're talking to yourself. Does this sound familiar? Oh, darn, I had a piece of chocolate. I might as well have the whole bar. Oh, my whole diet's ruined for this whole day because I had a donut. Oh, yippee, it's Friday. I'm going all out. I had a stressful week. I've seen it happen hundreds of times as a trainer. One minute, you feel you got it all together, and the next minute, I don't know what happened. I lost the strong and positive mindset. Then you start relying on your willpower alone. That's a recipe for failure. Your mindset is key for progress. Coming back to it, if you get bumped off and you fail, you get right back on it. Don't give up, and don't give up so easily. Giving up on yourself so easily over one donut, personal growth is learning and failing. Get on a program and do the primers. Like, do the things that are going to change your mind, the way you approach things, the way you think at things. Think about like painting a wall. You know how you prime your wall first and then you put the final paint over it? Start looking at the stucco. Look at the bare walls. Look at health markers. Start there first. The weight will come off. Remember, a healthy body is more responsive to weight training. When you wake up Monday morning, there goes that internal voice in your head again. Whether it's dad bod, soccer moms, it doesn't matter. You need someone to meet you right where you're at. Okay, here are three simple things that you need to make happen for fat burning. Glycosis needs to happen in your body to get that fat burning. Walk 10 minutes after a meal. Something so simple. You finish up dinner, put a timer on your watch, 10 minutes, get outside and walk or jump on your treadmill or walk around your house, run up and down your stairs, 10 minutes. Easy to do. The second thing, start to pair your calories, your macros, your food intake, your caloric consumption. Correlate it to your weight days. We'd go like this. On your weight training days, eat higher carbs and lower fat ratios. On your off days, eat higher fat and protein and far fewer carbs. Something so easy you can do without getting super detailed into macros. That's just a really basic first step that you could do. Be aware. And then finally, collect the data. Journal, do your heart rate, sleep, your moods, your stress levels, and get a form of accountability. You can't manage what you don't track. Wins and gains are good for your mindset, your physiology, and your mental health. We live for those gains. I promise you, if you do those three things, you'll see a difference in as quick as 1 week. many people don't know how to implement dietary strategies. Telling someone to lose weight by just eating less and moving more is like telling a broke person to save money. Well, liposuction was popular at one point, but there are newer technologies that do remove fat. Actually removing the fat cells from particular areas in your body, non-invasive fat reduction treatments are safe and effective solutions for active adults. Personally, I am not opposed to that at all. If you have dieted and trained and you still have stubborn body fat, go get Cool Sculpting. Go do one of the new technologies to release that fat and remove the entire fat cell from the body. You will definitely notice a reduction in the circumference by doing that. If it's in your budget, go for it. All right, so we're going to answer a few questions. Somebody wrote in and said, I have cravings. I don't know how to handle it. It's driving me crazy and sabotaging my results. Acknowledge that you have cravings. And sometimes cravings are good things. I know when I was pregnant, I crave certain things. I crave protein and salmon and peanut butter and sometimes you crave, do you ever crave protein or are you just craving carbs and sweets? We tend to do what makes us happy and we keep returning to that happy. Sometimes your brain is just reminding you and you have to wait until the urge goes away. So there's another area that we'll talk about in Change Your Mind on how to handle cravings when they come up. So acknowledge it, sit it out for a few minutes, see if it's a legit craving. But also remember that your brain is just reminding you, go get that snack or go grab that sweet. And if you just wait it out, it will go away. What is the best bench for a home gym setup? Well, I would say if you're trying to decide between a flat bench or an adjustable bench, I would definitely go for an adjustable bench. Optimally, you would have one that you could adjust incline and decline, but if you can't get a decline, don't worry about it. You could always bump a step or something under the end of it to make it a decline, but I definitely would go with the full adjustable bench for a home setup. Hope that helps. I'm not sure how to breathe during a squat. What tips do you have on breathing? When do I breathe out? When do I breathe in on a squat? So when you're breathing on a squat, you want to think of brace and create that abdominal pressure, that circumference even pressure like a balloon. You want to exhale at the top or the upper quarter of the squat. Don't over brace. And drama and tempo is important. So make sure that you're not taking too much time at the top, that it's just kind of a natural flow of your breath. So tempo is important. You don't want to be doing dive bomber squats either. So just keep a good tempo. Exhale at the upper quarter of your squat. And then organize the flow of your squat. So think of like the setup. Hands close, elbows in, squeezing that fleshy part of your back. Elbows kind of come, squeeze behind, setting a nice base for the bar. Breathe, mindset. So create a sequence so every time you go to squat, you're kind of going through that sequence. Hope that helps. I've been counting macros, but I'm still not losing weight. Do I need to change my macros? Good question. First of all, how did you arrive at your macros? I'm very curious. Hopefully you're working with a coach or a trainer, and if not, you're trying to do it on your own. That's awesome too, but you might consider getting with a coach because are you using percentages? How did you arrive at your macros? There are so many apps out there and so many formulas that it would be really important to dial in some percentages for you. For instance, some of the apps will tell you 30% body fat or 30% total fat in your diet. I have found certain times of the year, living in different altitudes or different climates, fat is really important. So the main thing when you're counting your macros is to maintain a calorie deficit and stay energized, maintain your muscle and drop the fat. That's the dream setup. So body weight and how many macros that you need, you got to pick one system and stay with it. So it's kind of like squatting and getting deep each and every rep. So many times I'll put a bench behind my client so they have a proprioception. They have a feeling and a sense of, are they hitting the depth of their squat every time? So macros are the same way. You don't want to just free guess your macros all the time. It's really important that you're hitting your macros and that you're tracking your food choices. Both of these give you your results. It's really important that you just take a moment and track for 6 or 7 days, see what's typical, see what you're eating that's maintaining this body weight of yours. And then once you have that clear picture, you'll be able to set your current caloric intake to your goals. You'll have a general idea of where your macros are, where they should be. And it's really beneficial. So as an experienced coach, I'm going to be pretty accurate with you and I'm going to consider all things before we would set your macros. Second thing, I would take photos, measurements. So many times when people come to me and say, well, I'm doing the macros, I'm doing all the workouts, but I'm not seeing a change in the scale. I haven't lost a pound. Take measurements and photos. Because a lot of times when they say that, I find that they have no way of measuring, nothing to look at to say, well, are we really just staying the same or are we changing? So gather your starting data, wherever you're starting. Keep progress pictures, keep measurements. Why? Because it's not a one-on-one relationship between you and fat loss and weight loss. The scale only measures certain things. It doesn't measure everything. So don't make the mistake of assuming that when you gain a pound or lose a pound, it's muscle or fat. We don't know. Adding a pound, maybe you've gained a pound of fat, maybe you've gained a pound of muscle. So we need to sort this all out in your mind. That can be a real trip up for people that may take some new patterns of thinking. You may need to change your mindset if you're really, really stuck on numbers on the scale. I see that a lot. And it's really important to hit your macros. And the last step, you know, is focusing on hitting those macros simultaneous over a period of time and see how your body responds. I usually say 30 days. We can set out a 4-week block of training. We can set the macros and then we can see at the end of 4 weeks, are we losing body fat? Are we consistent to hit those macros? Are we not hitting those macros? I will tell you, a coach can definitely help you handle these adjustments, but you need to start with understanding that over time that you'll be able to adjust them and do it yourself. You'll have such an intuitive way of doing it. So recently we did some client assessments to kind of see how, for instance, if clients are doing a lot of single leg, you know, squats and Bulgarians, are they staying as strong as if they were doing 2-leg squats? And so at the end of each block, I like to do assessments to see how their strength is coming along. And it's usually quite rewarding for all involved. But I recently did some testing on a client and he was super strong in the isometric testing. Like when we do the wall squat against the wall, hold it for as long as you can. I mean, he blew it out of the water on a few of those, but he wasn't as strong in aerobic capacity, say. So just a quick question on, you know, what's the difference between isometric and isotonic? Isometric exercises do not shorten or lengthen the muscle while the exercise is being performed. It's static. It's just in one fixed position. And these static exercises do fatigue the muscles without movement. So an example of an isometric exercise would be a plank, or like I had my clients do wall sits for quads, or say a yoga tree pose. That's an isometric. So many yoga poses are isometric, by the way. And the great thing about isometrics is they can be done by any fitness level, any age. And they do help to kind of tone up and increase personal fitness, mind-muscle connection. I love it for that aspect. I do, when I have new clients who have injuries and things like that, you know, and they're so afraid to squat or use their knees, I think isometric exercises are so beneficial. Isotonic exercises involve movement or shortening or lengthening of the muscles. Rowing machines, running, biking, walking, treadmills, those are all isotonic exercises. Weightlifting and resistance training also falls into this category because the muscles are being lengthened and shortened during the workout. So again, both isometric and isotonic exercises can strengthen the body, improve our muscle tone, burn calories, and help us maintain a healthy body fat muscle ratio. And when used together, I think workouts can be powerhouse calorie blasting workouts. So timed intervals of isotonic exercises such as plyometrics, cardio, sandbag training, all of this followed by isometrics such as bridge, dead bug, plank holds. I like to use all styles of exercise together. And again, at the end of the day, it's really interesting to see. Like, for instance, this client, we have upped his cardio and we're measuring and keeping the markers on his cardio now. His heart rate in the morning, heart rate recovery, his peak training hits, you know, when he's training cardio, what he's hitting on those days. So doing the testing and the assessment really brought our attention to that area that we needed to focus on. They build strength, but they might not be as effective if you just were to do the isometrics because you're only in one position. And again, it does enhance stabilization. So if you have had knee injuries and things like that, you probably feel super comfortable when you can get into that position and just aid in the stabilization and kind of stay there. A large portion of the strength that you gain from doing isometric exercises, it comes from training your nervous system. So if you're not losing fat, build your aerobic fitness phase, you may need to temporarily increase it. Once you build up that muscle, it's here to stay. That's the good news. Muscle, once you build it, it's here to stay. A strong aerobic capacity will make you stronger in the gym. The possibilities are endless. You deserve more energy. So how do you lose that belly fat? Maybe it's time to try some intermittent fasting. It's a treatment for diabetes, weight loss, and lots of studies have been done on it. The fasting window is 15 hours for women. It will lower inflammation, manage our insulin better, and it is the root of so many diseases, that inflammation. The research is pretty compelling. So whether you're doing keto or Weight Watchers, timing of your food is crucial. New England Journal of Medicine came out and said intermittent fasting should be the first line of defense in losing weight, healing cells, improving health, and gaining energy. So there you go. I want to thank you so much for joining me today. Please leave a comment, a 5-star rating, and come back and listen to the next podcast. Until then, Kathy Dolan saying bye for now.